Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. The voice of the Tri-Counties, Chris Lorton, with you here today. Got a special guest, a name everybody's heard of around Jerseyville. It's very common. Bill Heitzig. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, thanks a lot. Glad to be here, Chris.
Yes. Now, Bill, you have a place in Scottsdale, Arizona.
I do.
And you have a place here in town.
Yes.
And come back and forth, I suppose.
Yes.
You are retired.
Yes.
Yes. Grew up here in Jersey County.
You betcha.
Yep. So you grew up in went to Jerseyville High School, I assume.
Sure. Okay.
And where'd you go to college?
Illinois College, up in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple nephews and nieces that went there. What'd you go into?
I was a history major.
How about that?
I was going to be a lawyer. I had a weak moment one time. Thought I'd go into law.
Yeah.
But that didn't last because I got drafted.
Oh, shoot. So when you got out of school, you got drafted?
Sure. Oh. Vietnam was that big, ugly elephant in the room back then that thank God we don't have to put up with anymore.
My. I hope that doesn't happen again. But so you went into the Army then?
Went into the Air Force.
I see. So you didn't get, you avoided and you picked the Air Force. Why'd you pick the Air Force?
Well, at the time, I could get into officer training. The Air Force was my last choice, but it ended up being my first choice because I could go to officer's training. If I was going to be a grunt and go into the Army, spend 2 years, possibly go to Vietnam, I'd make $150 a month. I had a family, one child and one on the way. And $150 a month back then wouldn't quite cut it with a family. So I was able to go to officer training and started out at $375 a month. That was a lot better.
Yes, yes, for sure. Well, tell me about your lovely wife. Is she from Jersey as well?
No, she's from South Jersey. She would say, don't hold that against her, being a Jersey girl and everything. But
what's her name?
Elizabeth.
Okay.
We met at Illinois College, got married, rest is history.
I'll be darned. And you got a few children?
Three kids.
Yeah. What's their names?
Tracy, Bill Jr., and Nicole. 53, 54, and 55 years old.
Do they live in the neighborhood?
One in Panama City, the other two in Scottsdale with us.
I see. Well, you got in the Air Force, but you didn't get out for a long time. How many years did you do in the Air Force?
30 years, 1 month, and 28 days. But Chris, you know how it is. Who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? And you were a colonel in the Air Force.
As I just said to you, I was a colonel, but I never met one I liked.
Is that right? Oh, I don't know about
that. I couldn't even like myself sometimes.
Oh, you seem pretty likable to me. But the Air Force, what was your job in the Air Force?
I started, first 4 years, I was a combat rescue helicopter pilot.
Really?
And that was kind of exciting.
That is exciting.
Exciting for a while, but then I went to fixed wing transition and learned how to fly a jet. Yeah. And my first jet was an F-15, a fighter, produced down at McDonnell Douglas, now Boeing.
Cool. What's that like? What's that like driving a jet?
Fast and funny.
Funny.
Yeah.
What's the fun
part?
As
they say in Maverick, we have a need for speed.
Were you always like a daring fella when you were growing up? Did you like to do crazy stuff?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So you flew jets. Now, did you fly over in Vietnam as well?
In the helicopter, I went to Thailand and spent 9 months over there and never got to Vietnam.
I see. So tell me about a typical trip in your job in Thailand.
A lot of times we pulled alert, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week alert for aircraft that flew into and out of Utapau.
Yeah.
So we'd stay in an alert facility.
How many in your crew?
Two pilots, a flight engineer, a flight medic or pararescue, PJ.
Yeah.
And at that time, the first helicopter was two firefighters.
Okay.
So it was kind of like an airborne fire engine in a way, but it was also an airborne ambulance.
Pretty big rig, wasn't it?
No, it was small, very compact. We were all in there tight.
Yeah, but you picked up people that were injured or?
Yes.
So you'd fly into hostile territory?
Well, not necessarily. See, Thailand, there was nothing hostile about it.
Okay.
There were some questionable things out in the jungle, but really no big danger there.
I see. So you did that for how long?
That was...
9 months, you said?
Had it 9 months in Thailand, spent 7 months at Bergstrom Air Force Base, Austin, Texas, and 2 years at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. That was a good tour.
So, and then you went to fly the F-15s.
Yeah. Went to fixed wing transition. It was a 6 month transition force. It was out in Big Springs, Texas. That base is closed down now. That's out in West Texas near oil country and stuff like that, I guess. But went through 6 months of training and then went through 2 months of fighter transition in a trainer jet, but they taught us fighter tactics and everything initially, and then went to Luke Air Force Base and spent 5 months training in the F-15. First assignment, Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. That's Hampton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
3 years there.
I see.
And then on.
So did you have to do any fighting where people are shooting at you?
No. Later on, I was stationed in Germany, and I went out to northern Iraq. Mm-hmm. I called it guard duty.
Yeah.
We'd fly over the top of northern Iraq, protecting the Kurds from Saddam Hussein.
I see.
And so if any of Saddam's helicopters or fighters came up, we were going to make sure they were taken care of before they harmed the Kurds.
You know that movie you referred to just a little bit ago about the Need for Speed?
Yeah.
What would you say, is that true to fact? Is that a lot like what really goes on?
Those are good. Both of those movies are very good. It did a lot of good for recruiting in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
But really, if I had to be serious about it, what I experienced was a lot more, I suppose, fun.
Oh, yeah?
Exciting, more so than those movies were.
I see. Well, that's great. You spent your career flying jets. That's got to be, I mean, a dream come true.
It was pretty nice.
Yes. And not only are you a colonel and you fly F-15s, but you're also an author and have authored 8 books.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah. What a human being. How about that? So your first book. Tell me about your first book.
First book was My Days with Father Clancy. When I was in 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, I worked for the old priest over at St. Francis.
Father Clancy.
Father John J. Clancy.
Yes.
And it was an education on steroids working for him.
You know, there's a lot of listeners remember Father Clancy. A lot of them know the name Father Clancy. Some don't. You know, some people, they maybe just don't know Father Clancy. But tell me a little bit and tell the listeners a little bit about Father Clancy's personality.
Well, he was a man like no other, that's for sure, Chris. Yeah. Let me tell you a quick story about him in Verdon, Illinois.
Okay.
In the 1990s, they had a very serious coal strike there in Verdon. And fact is, the people who ran the coal mine, they called in folks from Chicago to protect their mine and everything. Obviously, these were armed somewhat like armed militia, if you will, and they armed up there and everything. And of course, the strikers, they marched on the company.
Yes.
9 of those strikers were killed.
Really?
I think that was like 1995 in Verdun.
Wow.
There were people out kind of like in no man's land.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of the gunfire and everything. And Father Clancy was a young priest at the church there in Verdun. And he went out and gave last rites on the battlefield with bullets zinging all around him.
I'll be darned.
And so early on as a priest, he was a priest for 78 years back in the old days, though. That kind of told you what kind of a man Father Clancy was. And here in Jersey County, whether some folks want to admit it or not, when he held court with all the businessmen and bankers and lawyers and whatnot.
I'll be darned. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Bill Heitzig with me, a retired colonel, author from Jerseyville, Jersey County. And we're just talking about some of the stuff that he's accomplished over the years. Bill, now, Father Clancy, how old was he when you were in grade school? Like, what age was he?
In his 90s. I worked for him like 95 to 98 years old. So he needed help getting around. He needed help getting over to the church to say Mass.
So you came close with him.
I was his walking cane.
I'll be darned.
All 5'5", 70 pounds. I was his walking cane, his bell ringer, and his grocery shopper, and his ran errands to the bank.
Now, did you live in the house that you own now? Did you live right next door?
No. Our home initially was on East Carpenter, 325 East Carpenter. We lived there. I lived there for 10 years.
I see.
One block from the railroad tracks, so we were kind of borderline. Well, you can imagine what that was.
Oh, yeah.
Deluxe days, though. My kid days were deluxe. And then we moved over to 109 Bar Place, right across the street from Jeff Heitzig.
Yeah, and right next door to the rectory.
Father Marty, yeah.
Where the rector's at. Okay, some of your other books. You got your second book that you wrote, Get a Grip. What was that about?
Get a Grip was kind of one of these lunch hour inspirational type books, probably 75 pages, I think it is. And it's for young people trying to figure out what they're going to do with their career.
Okay.
So Get a Grip has a bunch of short chapters in it. One chapter is Get a Job. One chapter is Get a Life. One chapter is Get a Grip. It's just a bunch of gettas.
Yeah.
Something I think that even today young folks still read. Now, will they apply it? I don't know. Their parents probably would, but
let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
How about your third book, Remembering Mentors?
I had 3 mentors. One mentor, of course, was Father Clancy. My second mentor was J. Leo O'Brien, Doc O'Brien up in Jacksonville, Illinois.
Okay, at Illinois College.
I lived with him for about 2 years. He had guys who were somewhat troubled. Not that I was troubled, Chris, but yeah. I guess I was close to it anyway. He let guys move in there and live for $6 a week. And we had a room to stay in and go to school. And I worked midnights there also. So it was a great thing. He was a great man. And then the third mentor was my dad.
Cool. Love it. What do you have to say about your dad? How he mentored you?
I would think that my 3 brothers and I could go on and on and on about our dad because
it sounds like another episode.
we liked him, and I think he liked us also.
And then you have fourth book, The Struggle of Egos.
Fourth book was actually...
Unlikely Airman.
The Unlikely Airman, which was essentially my 30 years in the Air Force.
Okay.
29 assignments in 30 years. So I more or less dedicate a chapter or so to many of those, just about all of the moves, what I did, what I flew.
Right.
I was a base commander twice, and so...
How about Struggle of Egos, that title, that book?
Struggle of Egos is a fictional narrative, historical fiction, I guess you would say. Abraham Lincoln and how he handles his generals during the Civil War.
Very interesting.
I'm a history nut, so.
Yeah. And then the next book, The Unlikely Relationship.
We had with Britain, England, the UK... It's called the special relationship, but the relationship that General Eisenhower had with his generals, especially some of the British generals, was not quite so special. That's why I call it the unlikely. General Eisenhower was a hell of a good general and a great president also, but it's a book, it's another historical fiction about him and how he got along with Patton and Montgomery and Bradley, and those high-ranking guys who were out fighting World War II.
So on these books, you must do a lot of research, just reading books, other books.
And, I make it up as I go along. No, I do. I do a lot of research.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. And then the next book, The Home Place.
I just finished The Home Place. It's a book about out home, the farm near Fieldon, Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's a fictional book. It's a kind of an action novel, or it gets around to that, and it's a farm novel. I wanted to get it done before our reunion.
Yes.
That we just had this last weekend. I got it out. It's out now. It's published. And you would recognize a lot of things in it. The name of the town is Jericho.
Okay.
Illinois.
Right.
The name Jerichoville, I should say, in Jericho County.
Okay.
Right. There's a town called Fielder that has about 200 people in it.
And, interesting.
There's a family, and they're called the Halders. Not the Heitzigs, but the Halders. And it's kind of a novel.
We're going to talk about the reunion here in a second.
Oh, but yeah.
We got one more book that you're writing now, and you told me it's a spy novel.
It's a spy novel.
That's pretty interesting.
I've wanted to do this all along, and so I've just written the first few chapters. I've got a lot of research to do on it, and we'll see how it turns out.
Now, you're back in town. They had the big Heitzig reunion. Heitzig, what other names, what other families were there?
Gittins, Smeeters, Tonsers. There were a man called Bobo Schmieder came over from the old country.
Okay.
Settled out west here in Westwoods, and he had 9 children. One was a Franciscan monk.
Okay.
5 girls and 3 other, no, maybe that was 6 girls. But there were he had 9 children. So the descendants of those 9 met this past Saturday out at St. Mary's. I think it was like 1,000 people out
there. Crazy. Well, I came by there. We were coming by, coming from over in Calhoun, coming this way. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? And I go, oh, yes, it's the big reunion going on. So Jeff Heitzig had told me about
sure.
it. Sure. Yeah, well, everybody have a great time?
Oh, it's fantastic. And Jeff did a great pitch there at the cemetery. He goes back and, of course, he uses all the grave sites as his talking points.
Yeah.
And talked about the whole family. And it was really quite good that he put on there.
Fantastic. So you must have had a big group of people and follow him around from gravesite to gravesite?
Yeah, it was about a 20-minute pitch, if you will.
I gotcha. And you had plenty of food and probably some beverages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, as they say with the Heidsiecks, you put a couple cans of beer somewhere and they're all going to congregate at that point.
Well, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them out there, that's for sure. That's great. You know, one thing, a few years ago, we put on the German celebration at the bar at George's. And what was the name of that? I forget what we call that. The
Oktoberfest?
Oktoberfest, right. The Oktoberfest.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, we, you know, researched it and wanted to pull off a good Oktoberfest and got costumes for all the servers and bartenders and everybody competing or, you know, being in it. And I was really happily surprised of all the German descent people that showed up to celebrate that.
The Midwest is full of them.
I know. It is. It was really cool. It was very good. I had Barry Ritter. He was the head cheese, you know. He was the guy we celebrated. Had Bob Fritz came over and he talked to everybody as well. You know, big German, Bob Fritz yeah. Distributing. So it was good. It was fun. And
gotta take this.
I tell you what, we've ran out of time and we've got to close this up. But it was great having you in, Bill. And we'll see you around. Hope we get to. Hey, one question.
Sure.
One question. How do people get these books that you've written?
They're on Amazon.
Amazon?
So you just go Amazon.com, type in Bill Heidsieck books, and.
And you can get them.
They're there.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Have a great stay.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Yeah, that ding-a-ling. We wanted to let you know that we ain't got. Oh, shit.